Today we're going to start with Hebrew chapter 3. We're going to begin with verse 1 to 6. If you have your Bible, would you turn with me there and we will read together. Therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest, whom we confess. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of great honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, testifying to what would be said in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are his house if we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. Let's pray. Father, with the remaining of the time that we have to gather here, would you come and speak through me? Expound your words so that we will be encouraged and that our faith will be strengthened and rooted in Christ. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The first verse here talked about our faith as a calling, the calling from heaven. In the Greek, it said calling from above. It is a calling for us to go there. It's from above and to call for us to go there to heaven. The focus of Christianity is not about getting rich, getting the best education or title or wealth, earthly things. Jesus came from heaven and he went back to heaven and he wanted us to focus on heaven. When Jesus was about to go to the cross, he told his disciples that he will die and he will be persecuted. But on the third day, he will be raised up again. Peter, thinking like a man, said that was a bad thing. You're young. You're only 30-something. You have 30, 40 years left of you, and why are you thinking about death? It's not. We should defend you. We should make sure that you don't die. And Jesus rebuked Peter and said, no, you're thinking like man. You're not thinking like God. You're not thinking about earthly things, things that man are thinking about. And Jesus said, think like God think. And then he pulled the disciple together, and this is what Jesus said. If we read in Matthew 16:24-27, Jesus said some wonderful word and turning the disciple to think about the thing of God. And here, then Jesus said to his disciple, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good would it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? What Jesus is saying is that this earthly life is for only a short time. But what Jesus wants you to focus on, for me to focus on, is eternity. It is eternity that Christianity is about. It's eternity that Jesus is calling us to. Now, the disciple didn't get that at all. And after Jesus raised from the dead, they had the same question again. Let's have the same question again. If you read in Acts chapter 1 with me, they didn't get it until the Holy Spirit came and they would get it. After he's raised from the dead, we read in Acts chapter 1 verse 6, so when they met together and met together with Jesus, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the time or date the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Well, Jesus is saying that. Why? Heaven is our home. Heaven is where we're going to go. As sons and daughters of God, we are not people on this earth. We are people from above. We are people in heaven. And so we should think of heaven. When you become a Christian, think of heaven. Heaven is where you belong. Now, there's a questions about, what about this life on earth? Should we just throw away? Should we just forget and, you know, just pack up and go into the mountain and just wait? And is that what is? And Jesus said, no, there's a reason for you. You're staying here at the moment, and that is you be my witness. You give your testimony. Tell people about me. That is the purpose of living here on earth, so that the message of Jesus will be heard and people will come to salvation. The second point that this text talked about is fix our thoughts on Jesus. Now, immediately, the author of Hebrews directs us to really think about our mind. God has given us a wonderful mind, and our minds wanders a lot. It kind of like has its own feet that walk around by itself. This is what happened to your mind. That's happened to my mind. As we live here on earth, we are hungry, and so our mind search for food. We want beautiful clothes, and our mind search for clothes. And we see beautiful home, and we want one. We see people educated, and we want our children to be educated. So our mind wanders a lot. What the author is talking about is we have a wandering mind. And so we have to constantly take our mind and refocus it on Jesus. Refocus it on Jesus. If you are a Jew, you'll be thinking like a Jew. And if you are a Jew, there are three things that you'll be learning from Moses. Moses is their savior. Moses is the exemplar for them to follow. So what did Moses do for them? First, he got the best education. He was trained in the house of king. The house of Pharaoh was the house of king. Pharaoh is the Egyptian word, means king. So he got the first-rate education. And if you're a Jew, you probably think, okay, Harvard and Yale and, you know, Oxford and Stanford and all those things, trying to get in. I think that if you're a Jew, that would be the first thing you want to think about. The second thing that you are a Jew, once you complete your education and this and that, you turn your heart to save your people. That is a wonderful thing, right? Save your people, save your skin. If you're a Hmong, save Hmong. If you're Lao, go save Lao. Help them, support them. That's a noble thing. And the Jews do that, okay? The third thing that Moses had done was to write books to bring people to God, to really use his experience and write them down and urge people who would read your books to bring them to God. That's wonderful things. If you are a Jew, that would be what you'd be doing. And for many of us, we'd be looking for an example like that in our life to bring into practice. But the author of Hebrews said, you know what? Jesus is the better example. Focus on Jesus. Jesus is better than Moses. Moses learned from the house of Pharaoh, but Jesus learned from the house of God. Moses saved the Jews from slavery, but Jesus saved humanity from destruction. Give us eternal life. Moses gave the Jews hope to know God. But you know what? Greater than the books that Moses had written is the Holy Spirit that is in our lives. Amen. And Jesus gave that so that you won't have to search for answers, that the answers will always be within you. And so the author of the book of Hebrews said, I'm in the Hebrews. I tell you what Hebrews need. You need Jesus. So for us Christians, we need Jesus. Now, if you are a Hebrew, you know that Moses' goal was to bring the Jewish people into Palestine, to Canaan. The land, the promised land, the land that filled with milk and honey. But he couldn't even go there. He has to die. And he couldn't get there. But Jesus, our Lord and Savior, he died and he rose from the dead and he went into heaven and he stayed in heaven and he's there helping you and helping me. And so the author of Hebrews said, Jesus is our ambassador. The term apostle is that. Our apostle is that he represents us. He is as good as the one that we sent over there to talk to God about us. What would Jesus talk to God about? Jesus would talk to God about your sin. Jesus would say, I die for him. I die for her. Forgive him. Forgive her. That is what Jesus is doing there for you and for me. And he is our advocate in front of God. He is our lawyer standing in front of God, asking God to save you and to save me and to save humanity. And that's the term ambassador, yes. The term apostle, yes. And the other term is that Jesus is our high priest. Now, in Hebrew chapter 5, tell us what a high priest is and how the high priest get appointed to that job and what he's supposed to do. If you have your Bible, let's read that quickly together. Every high priest is selected from among men and is appointed to represent them. Now, that is where he got the term our apostle, that he represent us, okay? Represent them in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifice for sin. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant. Actually, in the Greek term, it said people who don't have a mind, okay, and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sin as well as for the sins of the people. So the main thing that he does before God is to ask for forgiveness for humanity, is for you and for me. Okay. No one takes this honor upon himself. He must be called by God just as Aaron's was. So Christ also did not take upon himself the glory of becoming a high priest. But God said to him, you are my son. Today I have become your father. And he says in another place, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears for the one who could save him from death. And he was hurt because of his reverent submissions. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. And was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. So that was Jesus. That is Jesus in the throne of God, at the right hand of God, and he is there on your behalf. He's there on my behalf, and he offered himself as the sacrifice for your sin and for my sin. So focus on Jesus, because Jesus is there for you and for me. Now, what do we take out of this? A lot, but I want to talk a little bit about our practice. Since Jesus is our ambassador, he's there for us, he's our high priest, that give us hope and give us confidence, give us courage to approach the throne of God. How do we focus our mind? How do we focus our attention to Jesus? God has given us the Bible. So reading the Bible, reading Jesus' word, the gospel, that help us to think about Jesus, to really think about what Jesus has done for us and for the world, and also understand God's will for you and for me, and to be reminded that we are here for a purpose, to give testimony to Jesus, and life here on earth is temporary. We have eternal life in front of us. And so that the Bible helps us focus. The second thing that I know is that praying. Now, the Greek has like 3-4 words for prayer. And prayer is not only to give thanks to God. Prayer is not only to give thanks to God for other things, but to talk to God, to have a conversation with God. Now, I don't know what kind of conversations you have with God, but prayer is also asking God. I'd like you to ask God, like Jesus, like, Jesus, have you talked to God about my sin? Have you ever done that? I know you pray for sin. You said, God, forgive me and this and that. The next time you go home, pray. Jesus, have you talked to God about my sin? Have my sin been forgiven? Because I feel terrible. I feel under the wrath of God. I don't feel at peace. Have you talked to the Father about my sin? Very interesting, right? How about go to prayer and said, Jesus, did I meet you? When did I meet you? You're in heaven, I'm on earth. I didn't see you face to face. But the Bible said, you will come meet with me. When did we meet? I'd like to know that. I'd like to write that down. I want to use that as my testimony. Isaac did it. I want my life. Pastor will approach me someday and ask me to give my testimony. And so when did we meet? And if we haven't met, can we meet today? Because I want it. You know, that, have you actually talked to Jesus in terms of personal like that? Because the text here said Jesus actually represents you. And so you need to talk to Jesus personally about personal stuff. How about you getting sick and you have taken medication and it's not healed, and you should talk to Jesus. What about this illness that I have, Jesus? You know, you said Paul's illness, you didn't heal because through that illness, your glory is going to come through. This illness that I have, what's that about? Is there any purpose for this illness? If there's no purpose, can you heal it? And if there's a purpose for this illness, let me know so that I can even preach on this illness. You know, tell people about this illness. The reason I have this illness is because you are coming through. Give me a testimony on this. Now, if the illness is to take you home, that is even better. Now, I know this illness is good for me. Why? Because Jesus said this illness will take me home. It is the key to open the door for me to go to heaven. And I enjoy this cancer. I enjoy this time that I have because I want to tell you, this disease will take you right into heaven. And I'm so happy with it. Well, maybe you're not so happy with it, but go ahead, tell Jesus, I'm not so happy with this illness, even though I'm going to heaven. But those are the things that we should have conversation with Jesus and be very personal because he represents you. And, you know, what is in your heart that you want Jesus to tell the Father? Go ahead, tell Jesus. Just like lawyer, I practiced law for over 15, 16 years. And that's what I would ask my client. What do you want me to say to the judge? You know, sometimes my clients would say, I'm guilty and I'm sorry. Then I would go to the judge, Your Honor, this person has done something wrong here. But it's his first time. And we have a law forgiving people who do that the first time. As a dick the first time, and he got out of jail. He spent a little time, he got out. And that is what lawyers do, is get personal, the heartfelt. And we ask lawyers represent people like this. If a bad criminal has committed something heinous, and then you stand before the court and people in the court are against this. All the witnesses are here in the room against this. You would stand before the judge and you said, Judge, Your Honor, this individual is love. People said he is bad, but he is love. His mother gave him life and his mother loved him to death. And even with that crime that he had committed, his mother still loved him. And God, too, loved him. We, as this society, we are to love people like that. And so you speak on love. That's what we would do. And if you have done something that need God to forgive you, Jesus will represent you and tell God that. But you have to tell him your crime. You have to tell him your sin so that he can go before God. Now, the third thing that I got a lot out of in practice, and that's in journaling. Because journaling is something that you now become silent, and you're now trying to write the word that is out of your heart. And sometimes you don't find the word. And you said, Jesus, I know you have forgiven me. You have given me this peace. But I don't know what to say. I don't know what to write. What actually that you have done? And what is remarkable is that Jesus whispered into your ear. The Holy Spirit whispered into your ear. And that is when you hear God so well. That's when you hear God so well. And in my sermon preparation, that is the joy of being with God and is to write it down and say, what I'm going to say, what I'm going to preach. But there's something with generally, what about me, about my life? I have this feeling. What is it about? Lord, and then God whispered to you and give you. That's greatest joy. you please stand so we can pray. Father, it's so wonderful that you give us these words, not only to remind us of your grace, but also to remind us of who Jesus is. That he's not here on earth, but he's there in heaven before you. And that he's not there looking at us and writing down our sins so that he can speak against us. But that each sins that we commit, he would speak to you and say, forgive him or her. That's what he's doing up there. And that whatever struggle we have here on earth, we bring to him. We can talk to him. He's like our advocate. He's like our lawyers in your court. And he's there for us. And when there's nothing that will wash away our sins, he will say, but Lord, I die for him. And so we are to focus on him and not so much about this life. Our mind wanders a lot to things in the world. When we see a beautiful car, our heart just go after that. When we see a beautiful girl, our heart go after that. When we see a handsome man, our hearts go after that. Our heart go after beautiful homes. Yeah. Even the squirrels in the forest, our heart go after. Forgive us. Lord, we know you love us. Bring us together to hear the whisper of your love, to hear the whisper of the Holy Spirit into our lives. And the best we could do, and the way to do it, is to focus on Jesus. Thank you for Jesus. Jesus, thank you for what you have done for us and being our advocate in heaven's court so that we can have eternal life. Bless everyone who has heard this message. As we go out to have fellowship, give us the peace and joy of being called sons of God. Bring us back again next time. In Jesus' name, amen.